This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Surfing the globe, bringing global gay news, stories, and life to you one country at a time. This is the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Thank you, Leo and Jono, the boys of Sound Museum. This is Worldwide Wave, live from downtown Melbourne. I'm Tom.
Ich bin Hikaru Freeman.
Ich bin Squirrel Main.
I'm so glad you don't make me do the languages each week. Tonight, we are surfing over to the Netherlands, the country where the leader of the gay press has declared gay political emancipation has been completed.
Now, that's a very odd term, gay political emancipation. So, what does that necessarily mean to you?
Emancipation.
Freedom.
Yes, that's essentially what he's saying. He's saying that essentially all rights and all struggles for the gay LGBT Dutch has been achieved.
Utopia.
So gay pride parades don't have to be politically orientated. They simply are one big party, and that's legit. That's what it means to me.
I'm a squirrel on that one.
I like that. So it's just all a giant party, and this is utopia. Okay, that's a very profound statement. We're going to be looking a little bit more into that, seeing if you agree. We'll be discussing this with a member of the Royal Netherlands Embassy in Canberra, Nico Scheimers, as well as a little bit more Eurovision chat with Joy's Andrew Bell, as well as some insights on the Netherlands from Joy's own Gasman.
But first, gezellig. It loosely translates as cozy, but that doesn't quite nail the meaning. We'll be bringing you a selection of gezellig songs tonight, the first of which is from 1972, and it's Sandra and Andreas, Als het om de liefde gaat, here on Joy 94.9's Worldwide Wave.
This is Joy 94.9, Worldwide Wave. I know that much. I have no idea what that was, however.
That was Als het om de liefde gaat.
And yeah, that clarifies it.
And, well, you know, it does translate as if you are in love.
Oh, isn't that sweet? You could have just said that and saved us all 15 seconds of our lives.
It's a very big Eurovision song. It was very successful in 1972.
So this is all just a lead up so you can give us yet another Eurovision factoid.
Yes, but you know, it's a catchy classic. I thought to best it describes gezelligheid very, very well.
Well, yeah, okay, if we knew what gezelligheid was.
It's that cozy feeling that, you know, that I feel right now between the three of us. It's that sort of warm, friendly feeling of comfort and friends and good music and
did he say good music?
That's his belief, and he's sticking to it, so we'll allow him. This week, of course, we are off to the Netherlands. The Netherlands have, at least a particular person in the Netherlands has made a very profound statement, and that is that gay political emancipation has been completed, has been achieved. The Netherlands have done quite a few things that are impressive. A lot has changed.
Tom, you've been to the Netherlands, haven't you?
I have been to the Netherlands.
And can you just, we can get into the political talk shortly, because they are a pretty liberated country, but what's it like?
Well, I mean, I think that any person who's gone to the Netherlands knows what Amsterdam is about. And besides that, it's a very beautiful country. But yeah, Amsterdam's a bit crazy. You can get into a little adventure there, definitely.
Excellent. Hey, we've also got a bit of a clip from Gary, I believe.
Ah.
And Gary from Joy also talks about his views and kind of what he experienced as well.
Joy's very own Gasman, who has been a very recent visitor to Amsterdam.
I have indeed, yes. I was in Amsterdam in October of this year, so.
Now, interestingly enough, the leader of the Gay Krant, which is the Netherlands' biggest newspaper, just recently declared that gay political emancipation has mm-hmm. been complete in the Netherlands. And I guess what I'd like to get from you more specifically was, how did you feel on the streets of Amsterdam? Did you feel that sort of sense of liberation? Or
I didn't feel a sense of liberation. I certainly didn't feel any stigma or whatever being gay. Not that I sort of was openly gay in the streets, but just my normal self. Some people would say I could be openly gay. But no, certainly felt no stigma at all there. But I was mainly in the inner city area. And
is that more the tourist area?
Mainly the tourist area. I suppose I was in a hotel about 2 or 3 km out of the centre of town, so still in that central sort of area of Amsterdam.
Now, also, the Netherlands is one of those interesting countries where they're trying to bring a degree of multiculturalism. Did you find mm-hmm. that you got treated differently by the various ethnic groups? Or?
No, I think there was. I think I was very inclusive. The clubs I went to, quite a variety was there, and I quite enjoyed that.
Oh, well, that's good. And I guess finally, just really, what did you see in terms of the acceptance? Did you see in television and media, was LGBT images prevalent? Or?
Well, I didn't watch much television.
Oh, was that sort of vacation, was it?
It was an excellent vacation. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But the clubs are quite open. They weren't sort of tucked away in dingy little corners or anything. They're in just normal streets in the town and so on. Some of the other cities I went to in Europe, they were tucked away very much sort of in the back streets, but the clubs there.
Such as where, exactly?
Luxembourg I went to.
Luxembourg?
Yes. And they only had one or two gay bars, and they were in very back streets, and I did not feel safe going there at night time, so I didn't go there.
In Luxembourg?
Mm.
Wow. And it's one of the richest countries on earth, and you did not feel safe being
no,
there?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's a bit disturbing, actually. well, thank you, Gary. Thank you so much. We'll make sure that we will listen to you for the news and for your very insightful cooking tips, which we love every single day. And thank you for somewhat taking a little journey to the dark side of Joy After Dark.
Right, yes. And Amsterdam was pretty good after dark.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9, that was Joy's own Gazman talking a little bit about what he thinks is great about Amsterdam. It truly is a great place to visit. And if you've got some information on what makes Amsterdam a great place, we'd like to hear from you. Don't forget, onair@joy.org.au, or you can always SMS us 0427 Joy 949.
And it's always 2 touches on the smartphone app. But next, something a little bit more modern but still gezellig, Bluff and Alles ist Liefde, here on Joy 94.9 Worldwide Wave.
It's the perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. It's the world's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, and welcome back to Worldwide Wave in Nederland. Ik ben and still am Hikaru Freeman, joined by Squirrel Maine and Tom.
It's our last show of the year.
Jiminy Cricket it is. We hope we've added a bit to your 2011. Why don't you give us an SMS 0427-JOY94.9?
Or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au.
And 2 touches on the free Joy app. Being here, I can also say I've lived my dream.
Is that a not-so-subtle link into the fact that our Eurovision chat with Andy Bell is coming up?
No, but since you mentioned it, actually is. But after this song, out-Dutch singer and former Eurovision contestant Kiara Joling has racked up a remarkable decades-long year in showbiz. To celebrate it, he recorded Ik Lief Mijn Droom, or I'm Living My Dream. Here it is on Joy 94.9's Worldwide Wave. Worldwide Wave. That was Ik Lief Mijn Droom by Gerard Joling, and he's just dreamy to me. Now, another dream of mine, as my poor co-hosts know so often, is to talk Eurovision. And fortunately, there's another dreamer here at Joy, Andrew Bell of Joy's The Full Catastrophe. We sat down and talked Dutch Eurovision history. Welcome, 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 welcome. We are here with our old friend, and I mean old as in the relationship with the show, Andrew Bell of The Full Catastrophe.
Hello.
And we are now going to be tackling what is one of my favorite Eurovision countries.
And Hickey is dressed in orange.
I am.
In memory of
William Van Orange.
And Sandra and Andre from 1972, who are in lime green. It's all citrus.
It's very citrus with you. Now, the guys.
Just give her a go here. I'm going to shut up. Imagine a woman just carried away by this song.
Okay, but there's one thing that I just have to say. There's a weirdness about this.
There is a weirdness about it.
Here is a black woman from presumably the Antilles singing about two Mexicans in Dutch.
I'd like to draw the honourable member's attention to the fact this is the Eurovision Song Contest. But this is the first example, or one of the early ones. I can't think of many other earlier that appropriate another culture.
Yeah.
It was certainly the first non-Caucasian person to hear the Eurovision, I think.
No, 1964, the Dutch did break it with Anita Rollo, who was a Dutch East Indian.
You see, that's colonialism for you. But this... I think this should have done much better than it did. 15th. 2 points.
Yeah.
I mean, the point system was different then, but... And as, and she also... One thing she did at the end, she did a no-no. She disappeared out of frame. She went... The set had a stage on it. Stairs on it, and she went up the stairs and she almost decapitated herself with the microphone cable because it's torture and torture and torture. But it's a performance. I love her. I'm not so sure about the two dudes in the sombreros,
who were clearly named Gap and Kent
and have been appropriated from a niche marketed bar some days earlier.
Oh, now we are going to...
The chances are it'll be bouncy, and it is.
Oh. 1972, I'll set home the lift the hat.
Na 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 na.
I was 13. The Eurovision was, I believe, the Usher Hall in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And these two, Sandra and Andres, came on. He had impossibly high platform boots and very baggy flares.
I didn't take his hair looked like it was...
Oh, well, this was the decade for Dutch hair. I didn't take much notice of anything other than Andres. And I love this song from the preview show, which we used to get in those days.
Oh,
no. And it did pretty well. Fourth place... And it had this middle eight thing, which... And in the performance, it was a brass bit there, not... Often, this is a recording, and often it's the performances of that era which really drive a song. Because they had to deal with... Real Fair Dinkum orchestras, because in those days, every broadcaster had a big band. Not a symphony orchestra, a band.
But see, this is the start of why I would like to say the bouncy years.
Yes, bouncy
when
bouncy.
Every single Dutch song sounded like it could either be for a children's show, or it was just really happy. Like, this is like happy...
Hurdy-gurdy, I have written. A hurdy-gurdy, squeeze-boxy... But it is. You're absolutely right. This could be on any show and inoffensive, provided you don't understand the language, perhaps.
We're jumping to 2001. Michelle, it's the opener.
Not my bell. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Now, she gets kudos for being the first out lesbian contestant.
She performed it in English, which did not. She had very bad... She had... Closing the door. And you've got to be careful. And as the great Wogan said, we find her sprawling moodily. And she... Yeah, look. These kind of songs don't win.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Worldwide Wave here on Joy 94.9, broadcasting live from Melbourne, Australia. I'm Squirrel Maine, joined by Hikaru and Tom. At the top of the show, we mentioned that Henk Krol of Gay Krant declared the Netherlands has achieved full gay emancipation. Yep, so we're looking to folks, if you've got an opinion or a thought on that, do you think it's possible to be fully politically emancipated and be gay? What's interesting is we also asked this question to Nico Scheimers, who is a representative from the embassy. Really great appreciation conversation to the Dutch embassy, who took time out of their day to speak to us, and we'll have clips from that interview coming up later. But first, a little bit more from your dreamboat, eh, Hikaru?
Oh, yes. Continuing our Hizelig year-end special, here is my dreamboat, outsinger Gerard Joling with Hoya Morgan nog steeds van mij. Here on Joy 94.9's Worldwide Geloven.
Joy 94.9, and that was Gerard Joling's Hoi Ye Morgan Nog Sted Van Me.
Very good, very good.
I practiced.
It means, do you still love me in the morning? Oh, Gerard, I do. Now, on to more serious things.
We had the pleasure of talking earlier to Nico Scheimers of the Royal Netherlands Embassy in Canberra about the evolution of LGBT rights in the Netherlands.
Well, first of all, I would like to mention that same-sex couples can marry in the Netherlands since the 1st of April 2001. So that's already there for 10 years now. Yeah, we have the most liberal standards in the world in that respect.
It's pretty exciting, those liberal standards. We can only hope to catch up to you here in Australia.
Yes, well, I understand you're doing quite well in that respect in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're working on it. It has been going well.
Now, Henk Krol of Gay Krant recently said in a report by Radio Netherlands that the political emancipation of Dutch LGBT has been completed. Is that the view of the Dutch government as well?
To a certain extent. However, our government has just taken a number of measures because we still feel that the rights are in place, but the discrimination is not always, or people are not always taken for granted, and therefore discrimination is still taking place. So the government has just ordered measures to to punish violence against LGBT people in a stronger way. Furthermore, we have a number of families of same-sex parents, and they did not have similar rights before the court. The second parent always had to go to court to administer for parenthood. And that is going to be changed as well.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what other political rights the LGBT Dutch do have?
Well, basically, they have the right to marry. I think that is one of the most important rights. There is the registered partnership, which existed already for heterosexual partners, but not for homosexual partners. This was also established in 2001. Discrimination against LGBT has been prohibited by law since 1994. Same-sex married couples can have children, so that's all also been settled. Yeah, we had the problem of HIV, which made it impossible for people of LGBT people to be a blood donor. And currently the government is looking into that, whether that is possible.
Fantastic. It's quite a lot there.
Yeah. we're trying to do our best in that respect.
You're doing a great job. Now, with the new announcement by both the UK and US governments to promote and protect LGBT rights worldwide, does the Dutch government see a role for themselves in it?
I think we will support that kind of development. I think it's a very good signal that Mrs. Clinton is making announcements like this, and it demonstrates that the thinking of other governments is changing in a positive direction, and we certainly encourage that.
Last question. We're just curious about what kind of support the Dutch government gives for LGBT refugees and migrants.
Whenever they arrive in the Netherlands, they are granted the same rights. So in that respect, we are very strong supporters of that. For other refugees in other countries, we try to convince governments who are responsible for the refugees to be as liberal as possible in that respect.
Thank you so much, Mr. Simons. And welcome back, and thank you, Meneer Scheimers. Right now, we're going to have a song from Gordon, another out gay singer in the Netherlands. It's Echte Liefde, Gaat Nooit Voorbij.
Joy 94.9 Worldwide Wave visiting the Netherlands tonight. Quick shout out to Troy from South Bank saying hello. What a great show. And of course, our fearless listener, we'll call him Andy, once again sending his love out to all the listeners.
And we have the results of our Hoshin Party debate, which divided the Worldwide Wave Musketeers with the Disco Bunny Foo-Foos.
It did divide us, but it didn't necessarily divide you so much, the listeners. Quite a few... Which way?
I think the choices were Devilishly Good or Syrupy Sweet Torture, and the results are Mr. Tom.
Syrupy Sweet Torture is the winner.
Woo!
Oh, dear.
Sorry, squirrel.
That's all right. It was devilishly good to me, but hey, if we're playing Syrupy Sweet Torture to the ears of everyone, that's fine by me.
But no Syrupy Sweet Torture tonight, as we are in the Netherlands, where it's all good, 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 good.
It's all very Hiselic.
It's all Hiselic. In fact, we're wearing orange to celebrate that Hiselic.
Yes.
We are the Worldwide Waves coming to you from the Netherlands. We've been chatting so far today with Gary and his experiences about the Netherlands. We've been talking to Andrew Bell and heard a little bit about the more Eurovision. And Nico Scheimers from the Royal Dutch Embassy. Yep, coming up in a moment, we'll have another one of Gerald Rowling's songs. But first... Top 10 list. Let's start to get into it. Woohoo! Okay, 10 great reasons to be in the Netherlands. And by the way, if you've got one, feel free to send us an email at onair@joy.org.au or SMS us 0427-JOY949. Number 10, homosexual acts have been legal since 1811.
Wow.
That's 200 years, or as we calculated earlier, 73,000 nights.
Wow. When was Australia founded?
1788.
Oh, okay. I was on 1776.
Okay, that so 30 like years so after Australia was founded, Dutchmen were happy together.
And yes. Buggering.
All right. Number 9, ask and tell. Gays can openly serve in the military and have anti-discrimination laws, employment in general. Okay, number 8.
COC Netherlands, a Dutch organization for LGBT men and women, originally stood for Culture and Ontspanning Centrum, the Center for Culture and Leisure, which was intended as a cover name for its real purpose.
When was it founded?
1946, 6 years after my mother was born.
Wow, that would make it the oldest LGBT-led organization in the world.
I do believe it does.
Wow.
Excellent. And number I like seven? The fact it used to be called the Shakespeare Club.
The Shakespeare Club? I missed that one.
Yeah. When it was first founded, it was called the Shakespeare Club. Yeah. I like it. You were going to say seven?
I was going to say number seven. I get excited. I jump ahead. Homosexual age of consent has been consistent with that of the heterosexuals, age 16, since 1971.
Are you copying to something a little bit dirty? You are you better?
Oh, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Okay, it's just important that it's consistent with the age of
absolutely
the heterosexuals, and it's since 1971, but before we were born.
Number six is probably my favorite. I have to admit, the Homo Monument.
No, do explain.
The Homo Monument.
Yes, what is the Homo Monument?
It's this memorial in the center of Amsterdam, okay, commemorating, and it is a bit serious here, it's commemorating all of the Holocaust victims, gays and lesbians, right? But it opened in 1987, and it's three pink triangles that form a larger triangle, and it's called the Homo Monument.
And where do the three triangles point to?
The three triangles, okay, so one points towards the National War Memorial, one points towards the House of Anne Frank, and one points towards the COC that you had mentioned earlier. Fantastic, eh? And this whole monument cost 180 €180,000. So
wow.
Countries ready to wow erect a Homo Monument. That's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, speaking of excellent, it's a bit of a Shangri-La, and we're going to hear from Gerald Rowling, Shangri-La. Celebrating. Welcome back to Joy 94.9, the Worldwide Wave Show that takes you around the world. This week we're stopping off at the Netherlands.
Welcome to Nederland.
Yes. We've just been going through the top 10 reasons why it's okay to be gay in the Netherlands. We had 10 homosexual acts have been legal since 1811. You can ask and tell in the military. We've got COC Netherlands. We've got homosexual age of consent has been 16 since 1971. We had the Homo Monument. That brings us to number 5. Tom, what's another reason?
Maybe. First country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage, April 1, 2001.
That's over a decade of same-sex marriages being completely legal.
Amazing. Forefront, number one, the first guys to do it.
And it's no joke.
No, and they had actually been thinking about it since 1995, and pretty much took them about 6 years to push it through, so it's good to see that sort of, that's the time frame.
That's the time frame, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Number four, I'd say, was you can have both joint and step adoption by same-sex couples. So IVF, parentage, automatic lesbian parentage. The single legal difference between same-sex marriages and heterosexual marriage is simply that actually they do have a bit of a downside to this. If you've got a kid from a previous marriage, the legal father counts. But if it's a sperm donor, yeah, both women would count as parents.
Oh, that's not necessarily a drawback. Yeah, you've got to give the poor guy a chance. They were legally married.
And I do think Nico Scheimer said that the Dutch government is going to try to work to ameliorate that to some extent.
What, just do away with the poor dad?
No, I mean ameliorate.
Science.
Ameliorate. Make it better so that little, like...
And we knew what ameliorate meant. Okay, number three. Hey, do you know, off the top of your head, Hikaru, what percent of ethnic Dutch people in the Netherlands view homosexuality as moral?
I'm going to guess at least 75%.
Guesses, Tom?
65%.
Cynic.
It's even higher. Go higher.
More than 65 or 75?
Both.
80.
Higher.
81. Oh, this isn't bidding.
It's the Price is Right.
Higher.
It is the Price is Right. 85.
Higher.
90.
Yes.
Ah.
Spot on. I knew you'd get there sooner or later. 90%. 90%. That's 9 out of every 10 ethnic Dutch people view homosexuality as perfectly moral and just fine. But again, there's a downside. The influx of immigrants coming in, Moroccan, Turkish descent are, it's only 25-30% of them view homosexuality as moral. So it's interesting, by being such an open and embracing country, they're actually creating a counterculture to the homosexual.
Now that statistic is interesting to me. Now, is that people of Moroccan and Turkish descent, as in not even first generations, they are the ones that have come over to... They are the immigrants?
Yes, because in Germany, remember, Christopher Noe was mentioning that those attitudes were changing amongst the second generation in that.
Right, and I mean, that would be understandable, because coming from a country where it's a taboo subject, you would bring that belief with you. The true sign of integration is the fact that, you know, hopefully their children and so on and so forth are moving along. It's not going to happen after one generation. It takes time.
In fact, at least 2/3 of the anti-gay hate crime are attributed to Muslim immigrant youth. Mind you.
However, there is a little bit of a silver lining here with at least the Hindus of Indian origin, which do form a big significant part of the ceremonies, as well as Dutch East Indian, or what we like to call Indonesia now, those groups moving into the Netherlands are actually showing more in line with the current Dutch.
Nice. And also, as we heard earlier, that LGBT political refugees are welcome. Someone's being persecuted in another country, they can come into the Netherlands as a political refugee. Pretty cool. So
that's
it does balance
good.
Out. All right. Let's see. Number two. We've been so serious. Go on.
Go
on.
Harold Joling. Oh, Harold Joling, marry me now. He's a singer that we've been playing, featuring a lot of his songs. We just featured him earlier on. That was his 1988 Eurovision entry. Just had to get one in. Had to get one.
Oh, yeah, because we were only allowed one.
Whatever. Okay, and just for the record, we did do a Google image of this lovely, lovely, I'm sure, fantastic man earlier. And
yeah, well, the vote's yours. Have a look. Tell us what you think. I just have to ask real quickly here now. Is he such a Dutch icon as you place him to be?
Absolutely.
Do they love him as much as you
they
do?
They love him so much that he has been hosting several shows nonstop. We unfortunately weren't able to get an interview with him due to a little bit of a mix-up in the schedule, but he is actually hosting, I think... he did the Dutch version of Skating with the Stars, as well as Dancing with the Stars, hosted his own show with Gordon, who we've been featuring on here, as well as, let's just say, he's the equivalent of Graham Norton.
All right, so it's not just you that loves him. They love him. It can stand at number two, then. That's fine.
Okay, so we're keeping that at number two. And the number one, let's have the drum roll, folks. Number one reason is that... it's okay to be gay in the Netherlands is Ooh, we've got a tough call here. But we're going to go with either political emancipation has been achieved in the Netherlands, or if you don't believe it and you think they still got a way to go, you can still get married in a coffee house.
Ah. Beautiful, beautiful.
Pick your poison. So there you have it, folks. Top 10, homosexual acts are legal and have been for over 200 years. You can ask and tell. We've got gay rights organizations. We've got homosexual age of consent is 16. We've got the Homo Monument. First country in the world to legalize same-sex marriages. We've got joint and step adoption by same-sex couples. We've got 90% of the people viewing homosexuality as moral. We've got Gerald Joling, the singer behind our songs. And we've also got political emancipation, which we hope you all believe has been nearly achieved. And if necessary, you can always get married in a coffee house.
It's a good tie. It's a tie for number one this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of good things, we've got Vrede by Youth Yakut coming up right now. What does Vrede mean?
Peace.
Oh, how lovely. Push it up. We're gonna push it. Push it. It's not very peaceful.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the World Wide Wave. We've had quite an interesting journey through the Netherlands, haven't we?
Very interesting.
Indeed we have.
And we will be back in the new year covering many certain different countries. But remember, you can also catch all the extra content on our Facebook page. Just look for World Wide Wave, mash all the words together, as well as some full interviews, including the full unedited version of my chat with Andy Bell. And we will also be featuring the playlist on hikarublue.wordpress.com. It will be going live in approximately 2 minutes. And we are based in Melbourne, so remember, we're Melbourne stations to the world. Go get in touch with us and via worldwidewave@ymail.com.
Yes, we will be back with you in the new year. Our first stopover will be the Philippines. Of course, we're wishing all of you a very safe and happy new year.
And to Harpreet Nagra, who kind of wrote in and said, hey, did the Dutch have the first gay radio station, or is Joy FM older? Joy FM is older.
Wow.
We just Google searched that one.
There you go. So, closing out tonight, I think we've got one more Eurovision song, the 1979 Dutch entry, Colorado.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.